The United Nations is once again attacking our sovereignty, attacking our rights, attacking our Constitution, and they're doing it with our money. Stay tuned, and I'll tell you more. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Behind the Deep State. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether you're listening to us on radio or the internet. We appreciate you so much. Get over to our website, thenewamerican.com. Subscribe to the print magazine. Get the daily headlines for free in your inbox so you don't miss incredibly significant information like what we're going to share with you today, because you're not going to find this anywhere else, folks. Even the far left fake media is ignoring this incredibly important story. So the United Nations has a monstrous human rights so-called bureaucracy. It's a sprawling bureaucracy. They've got the UN Office of the High Commissioner of Human Rights. They've got the UN Human Rights Council, which is really a hub for dictators. And every once in a while, they do a review of the United States of America. And they just last week released their latest review of the United States of America. And folks, it is a doozy. So they start off by praising the Biden administration. He's supposedly making so much progress bringing the United States of America into compliance with the UN and the UN's agreements, because he's promoting abortion, promoting transgenderism, and attacking gun rights, other fun things like that. That's according to the UN human rights bureaucracy, folks. You should see this report. Everything from free speech rights to state-level restrictions on the killing of babies, to the protection of children from transgender surgeries, the use of the death penalty on murders, all of this and more under attack by the UN human rights bureaucracy. In fact, the global organization, the Dictators Club, even called for us to change our constitution because they don't think our constitution is in line with their demands. So this controversial UN report, it was released in early November by the UN Human Rights Committee. This was on November 3rd. They examined whether government at all levels in the U.S., federal, state, and local, were complying with this International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the ICCPR for short. This is a global agreement ratified by the U.S. government in 1992. Thank you, George H.W. Bush. It purports to commit our country and our government to usurp a huge array of powers that were never delegated to the U.S. government in the Constitution that created it. And in fact, that's really one of the most troubling elements of this whole report. It just completely ignores the fact that in this country, we have states that created a federal government and delegated a few powers to it. Under our Constitution, which, by the way, is still the supreme law of the land in this country, regardless of any treaties or statutes that they might be able to get passed contradicting it, only a few powers were delegated by our states to the federal government. And all the other powers, all of them, again, any power not delegated to the federal government, is reserved to the states or the people, as explained very clearly in the 10th Amendment to our Constitution. But the UN doesn't know that, or they don't care about that, or they want it to not be so. In fact, if you read this report, they act like the federal government can simply force states to obey, as if our states were just mere administrative units in an all-powerful unitary state beholden to the United Nations, or the United Abominations, as I like to call it. This global outfit actually even lashed out against key constitutional procedures that we have in this country, like the fact that our states determine legislative districts. They also lashed out against our constitutionally protected God-given rights, like our right to freedom of speech, our right to keep and bear arms, all of it under fire by the UN. So they started off this report, this committee report, by describing certain positive aspects that they have observed in the United States. Positive aspects, they say, include the Respect for Marriage Act, which, if you're not familiar with that, this is a federal statute passed last year that enshrines so-called homosexual marriage into federal statutes, along with they're praising a bunch of executive orders from Joe Biden promoting contraception and abortion and all the rest of it. Other positive developments, according to the UN, racist racial equity and transgender bathroom at school executive orders from Joe Biden. Each of these positive aspects obviously is a clear violation of the U.S. Constitution, but they don't care. Now, the negative comments from the UN drastically outweighed the positives. They say the committee remains concerned at the lack of measures to effectively incorporate the covenant in the domestic legal order. It's directly from the report, folks. They demand that the state party, as they call our government, incorporate its dictates at the federal, state, and local level. They call on judges and prosecutors to use this global agreement in their decision-making and their prosecutions and their legal opinions. And they also call on the U.S. government to accept the U.N.'s interpretation of the covenant rather than the U.S. government's interpretation of this U.N. covenant. Another big demand in this mechanism, this report, if you will, they call for the establishment of an independent human rights body to enforce the U.N. agreement all across the United States. And they actually say in there, one of the purposes of this human rights institution would be to punish speech that the UN doesn't like. Hate speech, which, by the way, was a Soviet concept, right? It was the Soviet Union that first started pushing this concept of hate speech. That's actually who got it into the UN in the first place. And so they say this body needs to censor hate speech that the UN doesn't like, basically speech that the communists don't like. And they also made it clear in this thing that we need more Islamic migration into the United States as quickly as possible. Even more startling, to me at least, this UN committee report demands that the U.S. change its constitution and pass the Equal Rights Amendment. Now, if you don't remember the Equal Rights Amendment, this was a big deal decades ago, went down to defeat thanks largely to the efforts of conservative female leaders like Phyllis Schlafly. I knew Phyllis Schlafly. I loved Phyllis Schlafly. She strongly endorsed my book, and I considered her a friend, brought me on her radio program regularly. Just a great lady, probably the most important conservative woman of the 20th century, with the possible exception of Margaret Thatcher. But now, forget Phyllis Schlafly. Forget what the American people want. The UN wants a change to our Constitution. And here's what they said. I'll just quote it for you directly. The State Party, again, they're talking about our government, should redouble its efforts to guarantee protection against sex and gender-based discrimination in its Constitution, including through initiatives such as the Equal Rights Amendment. Well, folks, our people decided we didn't want the Equal Rights Amendment. They were going to use the Equal Rights Amendment to eliminate all distinctions between the sexes in our laws. In other words, women, our daughters, should be drafted into the military, right? And Phyllis Schlafly said all the time, the American woman is the most privileged person to have ever existed on the planet. Why would you want to give all that up to have this crazy Equal Rights Amendment in our Constitution? So that's what the UN thinks. So the UN thinks we ought to have an Equal Rights Amendment. They ought to go tell Saudi Arabia to have an Equal Rights Amendment. I'd love to see what the Saudis have to say about that. They go on to say in this UN report that the U.S. government needs to take more action against states that are working to protect children from surgical mutilation of their genitals. They call this gender-affirming care. They demand that the U.S. government force states to allow boys and men into the bathroom, into the locker room, into the shower room with our daughters and our sisters and our wives. They demand that males be allowed to compete in women's sports so that no woman will ever win a women's sports tournament again. And, of course, you can't have any restrictions on slaughtering babies, right? If you read this crazy report, they're like, they are alarmed, they said. The UN said it was alarmed at the increase of legislation, barriers, and practices at the state level that impede women's access to safe and legal abortion. Inter alia, the criminalization of various actors linked to their role in providing or seeking abortion care, including healthcare providers, persons who assist women to procure an abortion, notably family members, and the pregnant women seeking an abortion. So how dare a state say that inserting a vacuum into an unborn child's skull and vacuuming his or her brains out before crushing the skull and chopping the baby into bits, how dare they make that a crime? You have to protect the right to chop babies into pieces. You have to protect the right to vacuum the brains out of babies' skulls so that the skulls can be crushed and the unborn babies can be dragged out in pieces from their mother's womb. Folks, this is the United Nations, right? This is being paid for by you. Now, the UN said, with no trace of irony whatsoever, in the very same section, they say they're deeply concerned about the profound impact that these state measures taking aim at the abortion are having on, and I'm quoting here, the rights of women and girls seeking an abortion, including the rights to life, privacy, and not to be subject to cruel and degrading treatment. How stopping restrictions on killing babies upholds the right to life really is very bizarre. I don't know. They don't actually bother explaining that. How being allowed to kill your baby is, or not being allowed to kill your baby, is a threat to the right to life was not explained in this document. But they have a lot of demands on abortion, folks. They demand that all women and girls be allowed to kill their preborn babies with tax funding and no restrictions whatsoever. They also call on the U.S. government to harmonize its abortion policies with the abortion care guidelines of the World Health Organizations. They're also coming for your guns, folks. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this quick break with much more on the United Abominations and their attack on our country.
The New American has just released our latest bookazine, a collection of articles on self-reliance. It's called Self-Reliance, Foundation of Freedom. Without individual responsibility and without the ability to take care of ourselves without government help, we cannot be free. In this polished collector's edition, we have articles on a number of important topics, including the self-sufficiency of the founders, preparing for a worst-case scenario, firearm self-reliance, building a wood shack, and the importance of community, among many other topics. Now, the authors of the articles are experts in their fields. We encourage you to get a copy. You can order your copy at thenewamerican.com/shop, or you can call our office at 800-727-8783. However you do it, make sure you get your copy of Self-Reliance, the Foundation of Freedom.
Welcome back to Behind the Deep State. I'm your host, Alex Newman, senior editor at the New American Magazine. Before we went to break, we were talking about the UN's new report attacking our dear country. And, you know, I'm not going to say our country's perfect. In fact, the UN did identify a few things that we ought to be looking at, not because the UN identified them. The UN's a group of dictators, mass murderers, kleptocrats, gangsters, child rapists, literally, as you will hear later. So, not because the UN said it, but because it's the right thing to do, because it's against the law, because it violates our Constitution. But let's keep going here on their list of demands. They really don't like our guns. They really don't like our gun rights. So the UN committee actually praised the Biden administration for its efforts to infringe on our God-given rights enshrined in the Second Amendment. But they called for much, much more. In fact, among other demands, the UN called for forcing everyone in America to obtain a government permission to be able to buy firearms or ammunition or magazines. They called for bans on broad categories of firearms. Anything that the UN doesn't like, you shouldn't be allowed to have. They call for helping to bankrupt the firearm industry by subjecting it to endless litigation. Folks, they are coming for your guns, right? And after they get all these things in place, the universal background checks, which is really just code for universal gun registration and forcing you to have permission, right? Under this universal gun registration that they call universal background checks, folks, understand, you couldn't even hand your buddy a rifle to go hunting. You couldn't even hand your son a firearm to go hunting with without giving them a background check. But this is crazy. This is madness. But this is what the UN is demanding. Obviously, they get into the climate change stuff, which we talked about recently on this program. They called for the U.S. government to, and I'm quoting here, intensify efforts to prevent and mitigate the effects of climate change and environmental degradation, including by strengthening its legal framework and to take adequate steps to adopt a precautionary approach to protecting persons, especially the most vulnerable, from the negative impacts of climate change and natural disasters. Folks, when they talk about the precautionary principle, you need to know what they're talking about here. The precautionary principle holds that if there's even a risk that it might be bad, then the government needs to stop it. So if there's even a possible threat from CO2, which there's not, by the way, it's the gas that you exhale, it's the gas of life, it's a very important gas. Plants use it for photosynthesis. Actually, when I interviewed Donald Trump's climate advisor, Dr. Will Happer, Princeton physics professor, he said the Earth is starving for more CO2, right? But under the UN precautionary principle, if there's even maybe a possibility that it might be bad, we got to stop it. So that's what they're talking about, folks. They want us to shut down our economy under the guise of saving the world from the possibility that maybe CO2 is bad. Now, they're not satisfied with the 8 million illegal immigrants who've come across our border since Joe Biden took office. They say the U.S. government needs to do much more to open up the borders even wider. Here's the quote. The state party should take all measures necessary to enhance protection of migrants, refugees, and asylum seekers without discrimination. They also say that U.S. immigration laws need to be brought in line with international demands and standards. Folks, I'm telling you, they're not kidding here, right? Now, some of the human rights that they identified, the human rights violations that they identified in their report are genuine violations of actual God-given rights, right? They talk about the U.S. government's mass murder via drone program, slaughtering huge numbers of innocent people all over the world without even giving them a trial, much less a conviction or a death penalty sentence. They call for prosecuting CIA people who were involved in torturing people. Yeah, obviously, torture is already illegal under state and federal law. We don't need the UN to tell us that. Thank you very much, UN. They expressed concern at the reports of the high number of children who are separated from their families and placed in child welfare facilities. Absolutely. I'm concerned about that too, folks. These are all valid concerns. But constitutionally speaking, they can and must be addressed domestically. Forget the UN. Right? These are actual violations of our laws. These are actual violations of our Constitution. They need to be stopped. Now, one of the problems with the UN is that it really the whole system is based on flawed premises, right? When the UN talks about human rights, they don't mean what you and I mean with human rights. They mean government-issued privileges, right? They literally just put the Iranian dictatorship, the mullahs, in charge of the UN Human Rights Council Social Forum. Okay, they have been putting mass murdering dictatorships in charge of UN human rights programs like from the beginning. If you go read their silly Universal Declaration of Human Rights, right, they actually say that none of these rights may be used contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. It's right in Article 29, folks, right in Article 29. You can't use your rights against us, so you don't really have rights, right? Imagine the First Amendment. No rights unless we agree that you have rights. And if you use your rights against us, then you know no more rights for you, right? This is what they're doing, folks. They are trying to redefine the concept of rights. Now, thankfully, people are getting really sick of this. I want you to listen to just a quick interview we did with Congressman Thomas Massey. He introduced a bill to get us out of the UN. I want you to just listen to this. It's a brilliant little spiel. Check this out.
You were one of the leading promoters of the AM exit.
Yes.
And you co-sponsored a bill to get us out of the United Nations. I'm curious, why do you think we ought to leave the United Nations, and what exactly would that entail?
Yeah, the day after Brexit, on Facebook, I revived this bill that I'm a co-sponsor of to get us out of the United Nations, and I used the hashtag AmExit and UNExit. And both of those and that post caught on pretty well, and it renewed interest in a bill that actually was introduced by Ron Paul many years ago, and a congressman before that. And the reason that I think we need to get out of the UN is, well, it's full of dictators, and it's also something that I don't think our sovereign government should defer to. For instance, a lot of these foreign relations bills that come in front of us in Congress and the whereas clauses, they might say, whereas the UN has said this or the UN decided this, now therefore be it resolved. Well, that's almost an automatic no for me. Because why would I defer to the United Nations if we're a sovereign country? The best thing you can say about the United Nations is it's mostly ineffective and a waste of money. Like, that's the best thing you could say about it. So I'm glad that they're somewhat ineffective, but I don't like that we waste the money. We provide like 90% of the funding for the United Nations for their activities overseas, their intervention and whatnot. And so, the other countries who are in there, they don't pay their fair share, but a fair share would be zero and we should get out.
Fair share would be zero and we should get out. Thank you, Congressman Massey. We here at Behind the Deep State could not agree more with you. It is way past time to get us out of this cesspool of corruption. Fortunately, this is an idea that is spreading. Sean Hannity, the Fox News guy, I'm no huge Sean Hannity fan, the guy with the little CIA pin, but he actually just said on his show, I've said this for quite some time, the anti-Americanism, the vitriol, the anti-Semitism, it's time, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, for the UN to be evicted from America.
I've said this for some time because of the anti-Americanism, the virulent anti-Semitism. It is time, frankly, as far as I'm concerned, for the UN to be evicted from America. They're an anti-American organization. They serve no purpose.
They're an anti-American organization. They serve no purpose. He called for us to stop funding them and all of these globalist organizations. Even Newt Gingrich, right, the former speaker and neocon, occasionally shares my articles out on Twitter, which I'm thankful for. But anyways, he put a piece in the Telegraph saying, look, we've been stunningly generous to this bureaucratic, corrupt organization, which is often functionally pro-terrorist. Is what Newt Gingrich says. He says, it's since 12 democracies donate 60% of the UN assessments, they should band together to force real change by simply withholding their annual dues until the system is reformed. And if it won't be reformed, he says, it's time to just pull out and create like a new organization of some sort. So that's probably what the globalists will do, folks. If the US ends up pulling out of the UN and the whole thing crashes and burns, which it should, they'll probably come back with a whole new plan. We're going to have a League of Democracies or a Concert of Democracies, the Council on Foreign Relations, the deep state group was promoting not long ago. So the globalists won't give up if we manage to destroy their little pet, the UN. But I mean, it's such a disgrace. It's such a joke at this point. So, folks, don't think of the UN as the head of the snake. It's a tool of the deep state. It's full of evildoers. It needs to be stopped. And this latest report attacking our country, attacking our rights, is just more evidence that it's time for this to stop. Folks, the UN is just, it's just out of control. It is such an evil organization. It is stealing our rights and freedoms as quickly as possible with the full-blown collaboration of the Uni Party in Washington, D.C., whether it's Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the climate scam. It just, it never ends. It really is time for this to stop. So thank you for tuning in to Behind the Deep State. I'm your host, Alex Newman. Till next time, thanks for watching, and God bless you all.
They say I'm part of a global plan. I don't think so. It's too hot. It's too cold. You know what? The weather changes.
Here's the news, Dad.
Nope. It's hard to tell what's real and what's fake these days.
Ditch the fake news and always get the truth. Go to thenewamerican.com.